Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 23, the Shishumara Planetary System, text number 2 and 3. So there's no board here, and it is a very difficult sloka to chant because it's not in verse form. So I will go straight to the translation. Sukadev Goswami continued, "My dear King, 1,300,000 yojanas, which is 10,400,000 miles, if you can somehow or other understand how far that is, above the planets of the seven sages, is the place that learned scholars describe as the abode of Lord Vishnu. There, the son of Maharaj Uttanapada, the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva, still resides as the life source of all the living entities who live until the end of the creation. Agni, Indra, Prajapati, Kashyap, and Dharma all assemble there to offer him honor and respectful obeisances. They circumambulate him with their right sides toward him. I have already described the glorious activities of Maharaj Dhruva in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Text number 2. Established by the sweet supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star, which is the planet of Maharaj Dhruva, constantly shines as the central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor causes these luminaries to revolve around the pole star without cessation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is distinctly stated herein that all the luminaries, the planets, and stars revolve by the influence of the supreme time factor. The time factor is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under the influence of the time factor. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind and loves His devotee Maharaj Dhruva so much that He has placed all the luminaries under the control of Dhruva's planet. And He has arranged for the time factor to work under Him or with His cooperation. Everything is actually done according to the will and direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to make His devotee Dhruva the most important individual within the universe, the Lord has placed the activities of the time factor under His control. Om Aganatamandasya Ganandana Salakaya Taksun Milita Nena Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Pandayam Siguro Sitapada Kamalam Sigurun Vaishtavangsta Si Rupam Sagratam Sagana Raghunatang Vitang Tang Jajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shiva Shakan Vitangstha Hey Krishna Kruna Sindo Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kansana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanan Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is similar to the third canto and also to the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. For the subject matter is in relationship with the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the third canto, there is the description in the latter chapters of Lord Kapiladev, and he's describing the Sankhya philosophy, which is analyzing the material elements in this particular world. And the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is describing the universal form, which is actually described as an imaginary form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all in relationship with the material world. So here, this description of the structure of the universe is also in relationship to the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what benefit is there to hear about this? Because if one is a little bit intelligent and introspective through the analytical study of the world, Sankhya, and the understanding of the complexity and the unlimited expanse of this universe, one naturally will come to a sense of how small one is personally and how great and powerful that personality is who has put this cosmos into motion. So the structure of this universe is a significant section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Quite a few chapters. But so you would think, okay, let's get over this and let's get down to, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam is supposed to be all about. But if you really look into these chapters, it is interspersed with a lot of bhakti. It doesn't just say the explain the structure of the universe and all the technical aspects of it, but it describes the inhabitants of these planets. And it just so happens that the inhabitants of the higher planets, they generally have more of a tendency to be a little more spiritually inclined, and they have a lot to say about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what they have to say is mentioned in many places in these chapters. So we are never, there's never short of bhakti in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is bhakti from beginning to the end. So, and similarly, it's today, is the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur. And externally, it may appear that Haridas Thakur, it did appear in a very, what would be considered a very low-class family. They were meat eaters and of the lowest type. There's meat eaters and there's low-class meat eaters. It is described actually in the Srimad Bhagavatam that fish on the evolutionary scale of living entities in the material world, if one is very, very sinful, yes, twindagopam atabendamoso karma, then you take birth as an indagopa. And if you're very pious, then you can take birth as a demigod like Lord Indra. So there's a great gulf of difference between the indagopa and Lord Indra. That you take birth as an indagopa germ. So that is a very, very low birth. So those that, and then if you go up the scale, you go through the different germs and you go through insects and actually you come to fish pretty quickly. Fish is lower than plant life. You become a fish, and then after you become a fish, you become a plant. So in that respect, we're eating plants. And those that are eating fish, if you looked at it from an external perspective, they're less sinful than we are. And also, there's some people like to eat the embryos of the chicken. And but then, in modern days, very rarely are these eggs fertilized. They take they don't put the roosters and the chickens together, and so there's absolutely no possibility that these eggs are going to hatch and a chicken's going to come out. So what is wrong with eating eggs? Srila Prabhupada, he described that it is the blood and mucus, it is the mode of ignorance. It's not that sinful, but it is unclean. And fish, Srila Prabhupada, the devotees were criticizing the pujaris in Jagannath Puri because they saw that the devotees saw they were eating fish. And Srila Prabhupada says, don't criticize the pujaris in Jagannath Puri. So things don't always seem like they are. We have to be very careful. Not that we should eat fish, and not that we should eat eggs, but sometimes very exalted people come from very unclean places, and Haridas Thakur was amongst this category. So similarly, devotees in ISKCON, where have we come from? I know your children are coming from a very exalted and glorious background. Now, if you could only appreciate that, that would be to your credit. The general tendency for children to kind of be a little contemptuous about their parents. I know this from experience. And maybe not think that, okay, so I'm born in a devotee family, so what? But it's actually a very, very exalted birth. And if one has some realization of the benefits that one has in being born in a family of Vaishnavas, he will regard this and treasure the opportunity he has been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Karmana Daivanetrena, who does, who is in control of placing the living entities in the different wombs, and be very thankful and have high regard for the Supreme Personality of Godhead for putting me in such a situation. And very, very conscientiously and very, very with a lot of determination and endeavor, try to make the best use of this golden opportunity. So Haridas Thakur, he didn't have this opportunity, but he rose up to a very, very high platform of devotional service. So this gives us that are born in not so fortunate situations some hope that yes, devotional service, pure devotional service can be attained even by me. There's that sloka, Vita Ragabhaya Krodha Manmaya Mamupasritaha Bahavo Gyanatapasa Kutamad Bhavamagataha. Being free from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. So Haridas Thakur, he is a worthy person whose pastimes can be delineated anytime, anywhere, at any place. And his position is so exalted that he's also glorified every day whenever the end of a kirtan is Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. He's the acharya of the holy name. For he chanted the holy name not only in immense quantity, but in immense quality. One time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having some discussion with Sanatana Goswami, and Haridas Thakur was also present. And Lord Chaitanya, in reference to Haridas Thakur, said, some devotees, they know how to preach very well. They're very expert in like giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Or they're very, you know, very expert in very nicely, you know, quoting slokas. You know, they have like a, like slokas I consider to be like weapons against Maya. Because you can remind yourself of the potency of the illusory energy of Krishna by recollecting slokas. And by recollecting slokas, you can also remember the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his very, very exalted devotees. So it's very nice to be able to recollect. This power of recollection is quite a gift if it is utilized properly in relation to Shastra, specifically in this instance. So therefore, some devotees are very good at this. They're very, can recollect Shastra very nicely and explain it to others. That is prachar. And then he told Sanatana Goswami that some devotees, they're very exalted in their personal behavior. They know how to be very polite to all living entities. They know how to, if some living entity mistreats them, they don't do this tit-for-tat business of revenge, but they take it that, yes, whatever is happening to me, I deserve so much worse, but Krishna is so kind that he has sent me a little tidbit of what I deserve, and I'm getting a little difficulty right now from this other living entities. Anyway, I regard this living entity as actually my friend, because he is the deliverer of a token of what I deserve. And so there's no malice, no anger, no hatred. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was describing to Sanatana Goswami. And so some devotees, they know how to preach very well. And some devotees, they know how to behave very well. But Haridas Thakur, he is so expert at both. He is the most exalted devotee. So this is it's called prachar and achar. And Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote this saying that that this personal behavior precept, good behavior is higher than preaching. It's actually a more exalted position to be in the audience of a Srimad Bhagavatam class and have Vaishnav behavior within your nature than to be giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class, but after Srimad Bhagavatam class is over, offending devotees and actually not only devotees but other living entities as well. It is described in the Gita, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that Krishna, he's the well-wisher of all living entities. He doesn't just single out his devotees in this regard, but actually in the higher sense, every devotee, every living entity is Krishna's devotee. They just don't realize it. And he's fully conscious of this, and he's the well-wisher of every single living entity in the unlimited creation, which is the fifth canto, is very nicely describing. And that such an unlimited capacity the Supreme Personality of Godhead has in regards to this mercy. So living entities that are highly evolved, they have this mercy, this compassion. And it's described in the Upadeshamrita that free from the propensity to criticize others, that's a very, very exalted quality of a living entity. So sometimes an exalted devotee may observe like improper behavior of like one Vaishnava to another, but he'll never mention the name of the Vaishnava, but he will simply preach the principle of this bad behavior. And so for the purpose of elevating the other living entities and not condemning another. So this is Haridas Thakur. when he was being beaten and, you know, severely beaten, in not just once, but 21 marketplaces in a row with whips, severely whipped in public, humiliated. When you get this type of treatment, it's bad enough to get whipped, but then to get like punished publicly, it's a very demeaning situation. Just like parents, when they chastise their children in public, it's quite a difficult situation for the child who's getting punished publicly. And so generally, parents are, you know, advised to, if they have to give some type of punishment, some chastisement to their children, it's best done in private. So then the child can take it and will benefit from the punishment and realize that he's done something wrong. But when you get punished publicly, it is just too much, unless you're very, very exalted like Haridas Thakur. And he was getting punished, and he's an example of the in the message of the Bhagavatam, the second sloka, that states that this Trayon Mulanam, that if you render service, Dharma Prajitakatubhatra Padama Nirmat Saranam Satam, that if you're completely non-envious, Nirmat Saranam, indifferent ways this word is defined. Another way is defined is unselfish. You're thinking of other people, not yourself. That's Nirmat Saranam. Because if you're thinking about yourself, every single living entity, and the goal is sense gratification, there's only so much sense gratification to be around in this world. So you're in competition with the other living entities, because if there's only two pieces of sandesh and there's five people who want it, well, you know, guess what? Three people get left out. And someone who is Nirmat Saranam will say, no, you take the sandesh. You know, you deserve it much more than me. Whereas if one is a envious living entity, he will grab the sandesh and fight for that sandesh and think that he is more deserving than someone else. Also in the Gita, Krishna says, idam tu te guyatamam prabhaksyam yanasuyave jnana vigana saitam yasgatva moksase subhat 9-1. That because you are non-envious, I shall impart to you this supreme knowledge and realization. So this is Haridas Thakur, completely non-envious. And Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, greatly appreciated Haridas Thakur. And when Haridas Thakur was in Puri, I mean, he was, you know, to be a Muslim and turn into a Hindu, you're like a riven cloud in perspective to both the Hindus and the Muslims. The Hindus, men, the majority of them, will think, oh, this guy's so low-born. What does he think he is, trying to be a Hindu? And then the Muslims say, wow, he's left, you know, Islam, and he's gone to be a Hindu. He should be killed. So he's like, you know, in a situation where he's in a very difficult situation. And when he went to Puri, because he's born in a Muslim family, He's not allowed to enter into the temple. Haridas Thakur went through this ever from the very beginning of his devotional service. And by the way, Haridas Thakur, he was a very handsome young man, it's described. He had a very well-formed body, a very attractive face, and he had full facility, very good and keen intelligence. He actually became a very great scholar. He had qualified in so many ways. But he, despite all this, remained humble and remained in control of his senses. This goes to further glorify Haridas Thakur. Because sometimes a living entity is very strong, very beautiful, very highly intelligent, has different of these opulences of Krishna. And it has a tendency to draw the living entity away from devotional service. Jainmai Svada Sutta Sribir, Eda Madapuman, Navarat Yapidat Tumvai, Twam Akinchana Gocharam. This is in the Srimad Bhagavatam Prayers of Queen Kunti, where she describes that one who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with, money and, everything else, high education, you want to marry into a respectable family because it will give you prestige, and get children, and get a nice house, all these things. You cannot approach Krishna with sincere feeling if this is your focus and this is your aspiration in life, to have a beautiful wife or have a big bank balance, so on and so forth. So Haridas Thakur, he had full facility. It's never mentioned that he was from a wealthy family, but so that wasn't there for him. But I mean, he was a handsome young man, and he had opportunities. We hear a prostitute came up to him in the middle of the night, and offered herself to him. Would we be capable of resisting this temptation? No one's looking. There's no one around. And not only a prostitute, a very attractive prostitute that had good manners and spoke very sweetly and very nicely, which is kind of rare in this age, but also the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead herself tested Haridas, and he passed that test also. So Haridas Thakur, he is a fit candidate for glorification in many, many, many ways. He fully absorbed himself in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. 192 rounds a day. Now, one time when we were collecting to build, actually it was Juhu, I was in Japan, I was placed in jail for, there was a bit of a criminal element in ISKCON in the old days. And, we did things illegally because we were serving Prabhupada. That's the, So our favorite story was about how the Sri Rangam temple was built. Now, I won't get into the details of that because there's not time, but it was built by dishonest devotees with a lot of devotion, but they had some dishonesty in their blood. So we, thought, this was fine. And we were illegally collecting money because we had tourist visas, and in order to collect money, you had to have a missionary visa. But they didn't appreciate the Hare Krishna movement in Japan and would not give us missionary visas. So we went out anyway. And sometimes we get caught, and I was put in jail. And I turned 21 years old in jail. So I had a lot of energy at that time. Now I'm almost 59 in a few days. I'll be 59. So, long time ago. So I was a new devotee. I'd been a devotee for a couple of years. Srila Prabhupada's still on the planet. And so I had nothing to do but chant the holy name. I was there for 38 days in jail. And for 18 of those days, I didn't have any of Srila Prabhupada's books. So I took my copings and this waist strap and divided it into four. Put one-fourth of it back. Luckily, I had a very thick waist strap at that time. And made knots. And made a set of beads, 108 beads with a head bead. And they didn't take my neck beads, so I kept, somehow or other, I was able to keep track. I don't remember how, but maybe, I don't know if I used a piece of paper and a check mark or something or other.
Every single day, Sri Krishna has turned off the electricity for a
of, ability to do this. And he would only eat after he finished his rounds. So as time passed, Haridas Thakur, the energy level decreased. And one day he was laying on his back. And he's such an exalted personality that he didn't have to go and see Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath would daily come and see him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it a part of his routine. And by the way, Lord Chaitanya had a routine. He would, in the daytime, engage in congregational chanting and visit and take darshan of Lord Jagannath and go take bath in the ocean, but every single day. But also part of this routine would be to go see Haridas Thakur. So exalted personality, Haridas Thakur. And one day, Lord Chaitanya went to see him, and he was on his back. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, "What is wrong, Haridas? You're not well." And he goes, "My body and mind are well, but my soul is sick. I cannot finish my rounds." And Lord Chaitanya told him, "You have sufficiently been chanting your rounds throughout your entire life. You're older now. You're completely pure in heart. You know, you can decrease your rounds now. It is okay." He was telling Haridas Thakur like this. And then Haridas Thakur, he, thinking himself very low and unqualified, said, "You know, Lord, I have been thinking about something. I have a request to make from you. Although I'm not worthy of taking a request from you, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I'm just a low-born living entity full of material contaminations and with no love for you. But I have this feeling that your pastimes are going to be coming to an end very shortly. And please, could you grant me the benediction of leaving before you? Because I will not be able to bear life without you in my presence. So please allow me to leave my body, make the arrangements so that I can fix my mind on you and chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya and leave my body." So Lord Chaitanya replied, but Haridas, how can I bear to live without you? If you're to leave before me, then it's going to be so difficult for me to live." So then Lord Chaitanya, he left and to go to his duties that he always did. He went to the sea, actually, after visiting Haridas Thakur, and took his bath. And then the next day, after taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, he gathered his associates and came. He usually came alone, but this time he came with a Sankirtan party. Prakeshvara Pandit was dancing, and Lord Chaitanya led the chanting, ecstatic chanting. And when they came to Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur paid his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, and to all the devotees, took the dust and put it on his head, and he took the hand of Lord Chaitanya, had him sit down, and Lord Chaitanya, just like directing the chariot of Arjuna, agreed to do what Arjuna said. He allowed Haridas Thakur to sit him down, and Haridas Thakur laid on the ground and put Lord Chaitanya's feet on his heart and looked at Lord Chaitanya and chanted Sri Krishna Chaitanya and left his body by his sweet will. So Lord Chaitanya took up this body, now lifeless body, of Haridas Thakur and danced in ecstasy with it. Then they brought, you see in India they always have these palanquins for the dead body. They placed the body of Haridas Thakur on this palanquin and carried it to the sea with Uh-huh. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He personally helped dig the hole in the sand to place the body of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was not a sannyasi, but he was given the sannyasi rites. His body was not burned. And he was placed in samadhi, and Lord Chaitanya helped in this endeavor. And he personally placed the sand and over the body of Haridas Thakur. And after that was over, led the chanting of and circumambulating the tomb of Haridas Thakur, and then led the chanting to the Singhadwara gate. And then at the Singhadwara gate, personally begged alms for a feast from all the shopkeepers to in celebration of the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. Then after the devotees had sat down, he personally was serving out the prasad to the devotees. But Govinda, his servant, told Lord Chaitanya, listen, no one's going to take prasad until you do. You have to. So he had Lord Chaitanya sit down, and that particular day, Kashi Mishra was scheduled to give prasad to him. So he personally served prasad to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a bite, then all the other devotees started taking prasadam. And Lord Chaitanya was not accustomed to taking prasad in small quantities. So he encouraged the servers, you serve a lot of prasad to all the devotees. On a particular day, there's no limit to how much prasad you can honor in glorification of a great devotee or an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. You can enjoy to your heart's honor, to your heart's content, so to speak. So this is a very special day, and it actually creates a little bit of humility in the heart. That and some inspiration that someone lowborn can become so exalted, so that maybe someday I can also, being also very lowborn, can also become an exalted devotee. That this possibility exists. That one day coming. From a very low birth means a very prideful birth. And then one can become get transformed. Actually, in the Bhagavatam, this Bhagavatam is designed to create a revolution in the lives of the misdirected civilization. In the age of Kali. That means that you become, from a very prideful sense enjoyer to a very humble servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. So this is actually possible. It can be done. And Haridas Thakur is an example of this. So it's time to stop. Are there any questions or comments? I can attempt to answer them if it's in my capacity. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your lecture. What does it depend on if we are going to achieve Krishna Prema in this life? Is it Does it depend on pious activities or association with pure devotees, or what is the secret?
There was one pastime of Srila Prabhupada where he was lecturing very strongly that one has to become 100% pure before one can go back to Godhead. And then he ended the lecture and he stepped on one step, actually 75%, and then went down further 50%. And I don't remember the exact narration, but in other words, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Nagati Katopi, that if you displease the pure devotee, you can't get anywhere, Nagati. But if you please him, you get all benedictions. So if you please a pure devotee, you will get to go back to Godhead. Even though at the time of death, your heart is not completely pure. Because if you are recommended by a great devotee to Krishna, Krishna regards his devotees and has affection for his devotees and will accept that recommendation of that other living entity and grant his mercy on that living entity and allow him to go back to the spiritual world. So Shushusho Dasadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Shyan Mahatsevya Vipra Punya Tirta Nasevanat. By rendering service to great devotees, it's great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hridyantosti Abhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. That Sri Krishna, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and then the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are on themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So you put these two verses together, and you render service to a pure devotee, and you get affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev. And if you have affinity for hearing the message of Vasudev, Vasudev cleanses your heart. So this is the procedure. And also when I was hearing a lecture, Prabhupada was saying that, you know, there's different slokas in the Shastra that describe one should not become a spiritual master unless he's completely 100% pure. And, you know, you should never accept this position. But look at me, I'm, you know, and in a humble way, that actually my only qualification is that I'm following my guru's order. He ordered me to preach in English, and so therefore I'm doing that. And that actually if you follow and it's the Supreme Lord's order to become guru, so that is the purified platform, 100% pure, because you're following the order of the guru in a humble way. And even though the heart is not pure like mine, one can still become a guru. He said like this, like me, in a humble way. So we can get some mercy. Even though we may not be 100% pure, and we may be able to go back to Godhead. All right? Any other questions or any comments? Give the microphone. And speak very loudly and clearly, because old age is creeping up on me. And when there's a fan overhead, and there's very bad acoustics, it's very hard to hear.
Hare Krishna. I want to ask, in the ISKCON scenario, like, how would you recommend chanting more rounds, because generally when I have tried to do it, it is at the expense of so many things like service or like that. So can you recommend chanting more rounds in our ISKCON scenario, which is so packed up with services, festivals, and so on, like the morning program itself? And my second question is, sorry.
Okay, that's the first one. Can anyone repeat what he said? Get an augury.
He said that if you, there's no way for us to chant more rounds.
Oh, okay.
Our day is so packed up with.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Srila Prabhupada, generally speaking, encouraged us to chant, ordered us to chant 16 rounds. And in this particular pastime of Haridas Thakur, he said that one is not chanting 16 rounds. It's considered to be in a diseased condition of spiritual life. So generally speaking, we chant 16 rounds. And the rest of the day, we have service to do to the pure devotee. And by rendering of service to the pure devotee, one gets taste for the chanting and the hearing and everything like that. So both are very, very valuable. And one shouldn't neglect either one. So if you can not neglect your service and chant more rounds, that's fine. But if you are going to chant your rounds and neglect your service, then that could be a difficulty. Okay, second question.
I like Jagannath Puri very much. But the problem is that Mayapur we have so many devotees, whereas in Jagannath Puri we have a small ISKCON temple. So, but Mayapur is like the climate and water over here. I'm saying my personal problem, not generalizing. It does not suit me so much. Whereas Jagannath Puri is excellent in terms of prasadam, air, the weather, everything is just like. So, but there are no devotees there, you know, there's no, ISKCON Mayapur, you know. So,
okay.
How can I, you know.
Giranagari, I want a synopsis. It's like Lord Chaitanya glorified Haridas Thakur for not acting properly and preaching nicely. So, Giranagari Prabhu, he has a voice that penetrates through the ether and I can hear it. And he has ears that can hear also. Okay.
He wants to move to Jagannath Puri. Climate is better, the air is better, and he wants to sit there and he wants to chant more rounds. But here in Mayapur there's more devotees and the facility is nicer. So he's asking, is it okay to go to Puri, or should I stay here, or like that?
That's
about it, right?
Okay, very good. Very nice.
You know, the Puri does not really have a super well-developed temple there, just a small center.
Yeah, okay, I get it. There is a shloka, you know, the gist of it is dasa dasa anudas. We are all servants in this world. So, before doing something drastic, any of us, none of us should think that we're above and beyond taking advice from others. My advice to you is ask your guru, ask some senior devotees, and then you make a decision based on what other people have to say. Yes, Giranagari Prabhu.
I was going to say, Puri is a really great place. I spent a year of my life there. But it's also, besides being a great holy place, it's also a great vacation spot.
It's a very popular honeymoon spot, by the way.
Yeah, it's also
Okay. One thing nice about Puri also is right in the middle of the city is a burning ghat. Right in the middle, and you can practically go there at any time. There's about six fires going on, and sticking out, because in India they don't want to use so much wood. They try to, you know, burn the body with using as little wood as possible because wood is scarce. They put enough wood for the torso only, and there's legs sticking out of these fires. You see feet and legs sticking out, and there's a big fire going on. So that's another benefit of Puri, that you're reminded that yes, one day Allah will also be in this fire. Okay. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Gaur Premanandi.